Good evening, everyone. We'd like to welcome you tonight here to our annual carol service here in Bethel Free Presbyterian Church. Good to see so many gathered with us tonight. We'll also give a very special welcome as well to those who are listening online to our service this evening. Now, we're going to commence our service tonight by singing together the first hymn just in our order of service. It's a very well-known Christmas carol that says, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King, let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing." It's hymn number 77 in our own hymn book. We'll keep our seats while we sing, as we sing out unto the Lord. Just going to seek the Lord in a word of prayer, commit our meeting tonight to the Lord, looking for His help and His blessing this evening. Our gracious God and our loving Father in heaven, we thank Thee this night that Thy goodness and Thy mercy finds us here in the house of the Lord to praise Thee and to worship Thee. We come to Thee through no merit of our own. We come to Thee tonight through Christ, the God-man, our Redeemer, the one who came into this world to seek and to save that which is lost. Father, we thank Thee tonight afresh for the perfect life of Christ, that He was indeed the Lamb without blemish. We thank Thee, O God, for His atoning death and sacrifice for guilty sinners upon the cross. And Father, we thank Thee that there upon that cross of Calvary shed His blood, and He died the just for us the unjust, that He might bring us to God. And Father, we rejoice afresh this night, this evening hour, in Thy goodness and Thy grace and in Thy love. We thank Thee for the blessings of this Thine own day to us already. We thank Thee for Thy presence with us in Thy house this morning. And Lord, we thank Thee for all who gather to hear Your word even today already. But Lord, we cannot rest upon past blessings. We need Thee afresh tonight, O God. We pray for this meeting tonight, from this opening hymn to the last amen. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt take control, that Thou, Lord, will outpour Thy Holy Spirit, and that in everything that is said and done this night, we pray, O God, that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be honored and glorified. We thank Thee for all who have been able to come tonight, and also for all those listening in online. And Lord, bless and meet the need of every individual heart and life. We rejoice, O God, tonight that there's a Savior from all sin. And O God, we thank Thee for each one in this gathering who knows Him, who has trusted Him as their Savior and as their Redeemer. And we pray that Thou wilt bless Your people and lead them on with Thyself. But Lord, for any with us tonight here, and any again listening in online on Save, Lord, speak to them especially tonight. And Father, we pray that by Thy grace and power, that they will put their trust in Christ, whom to know is life eternal. Bless all who will take part tonight. We thank Thee for the members of our Sunday school and youth fellowship with us tonight. We pray that each one would know the help and the blessing of the Lord. And we pray that Thou will bless them and undertake for them. And we pray that Christ would be honored and glorified as we seek to proclaim that great message that Christ the Savior has come to this world. Lord, remember any that are not able to join with us tonight. Lord, bless them. We pray, Lord, wherever they might be, that those that are aged and infirm, those that are sick and ill, and others that mourn and grieve, we pray that Thou will comfort their hearts and that Thou will richly bless them, O God, this evening. And what we ask for here, we pray that in like fashion that Thou wilt bless wherever Thy word is faithfully preached and proclaimed. But thank Thee, Lord, that Thou hast promised that Thy word will not return unto Thee void. And as the word of God goes forth across our land, across our nation, indeed across the nations of the world tonight, we pray that many will come to know and to trust the Lord for salvation. Bless us now, we pray. Close us in, Lord, with Yourself. Shut out every distracting thought that is not of Thee. And Lord, give help in every detail of this meeting, and bless Thy truth to every soul as I would see the need. And glorify and exalt our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in His precious name that we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen. Now we're going to have some members of our youth fellowship. There's an instrumental by them, and they're going to come and play a variety of different instruments. And they're going to play that well-known carol, O Come, All Ye Faithful. We're going to ask them now to come up to the front to do that, please. Thank you. for playing so well. It's good to have that gift, that ability and that talent to use it for the Lord. And we thank them indeed for coming. No doubt they'll be coming a little later on again to play for us. And this part of our programme tonight concerns the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's now going to be a Bible reading from the junior class of Mrs. Olive Maxwell. Jacob Hazard will now come and read Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1, 4 and 5. And then also Lucy Fleming will read verse 7. I'll ask them now to come up to the front, please. Thank you.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. That Joseph also went out from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, to be taxed with Mary his wife, being great with child.
Luke chapter 2, verse 7, and she, first brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Well, we thank Jacob and Lucy for reading those verses so well to us this evening. Now, we're going to ask three other younger members of our Sunday school to come now, and they're going to sing. And that's Jessica, Eliana, and Gracie Foy. We're going to ask them now to come up to the front and to sing Away in a Manger. Thank you. Special thank you to the girls for coming and singing that carol so sweetly and so well, no doubt following in Mum and Dad's footsteps. We thank them for the way they've sung so well, and may the Lord bless that to all our hearts this evening. The next part of our programme concerns the visit of the shepherds, and we're now going to have a Bible reading. Holly Latimer will come, and she's going to read Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. Holly is in Mr. Richard Edwards' class, Sunday school class. Thank you, Holly.
In the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them. And they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings for great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord.
Well, thank you, Holly, for reading so well. The Lord bless you in that reading and bless the reading of God's word to all our hearts. And we're going to ask another young member of our Sunday school, Miss Julia Muir, just to come now and play a flute instrumental. And it's the piece, A Silent Night. Thank you, Julia. Thank you, Julia, for playing so well. And the Lord bless that peace to our hearts, that lovely old carol, A Silent Night. Now, we're going to ask now Joel Foy. He's going to bring another Bible reading. Joel is from Laura Edwards' class. He's going to read Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and then Luke's Gospel chapter 2, verses 12 to 17, and then Isaiah chapter 40 and the verse number 9. Thank you, Joel.
To us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up in the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift, Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God.
Thank you very much, Joel, for reading so well. And may the Lord bless that reading of his word to our hearts. Now, we're going to have another instrumental piece. Members of our Young People's Fellowship, Richard Edwards, Anna Moore, or Andrew Moore, Anna Moore, and Chloe Porter will now come and play Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Thank you, young people. Once again to all the young people for playing so well. It's good of all that gift and talent. We've not many musicians here. I think it's time we started up a band. Maybe our brother Noel could give us a bit of help on that from days gone by. But we want to thank all the young people sincerely in the Lord. And there'll be others taking part as well later on in the service this evening. I want to welcome you all tonight in the Lord's great name. It's good to see so many gathered in. See folk in the balcony as well in the cry room. We welcome you all. In the Lord's great name, we thank God that we can come tonight together to praise and to worship the Lord and to praise God for the coming and the giving of His Son into this world to be our Saviour. Now, the announcements for the incoming week are as follows. Just Tuesday night here in the church at 8 o'clock, our midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. I belong to bring God's Word. Do remember that. Dear child of God, we encourage you to gather with us for the season of prayer and Bible study. And next Lord's Day here in the church, that's the 27th of December, the services will be at 12 noon in the morning. And then do please note the change of time at night. It will be 6 p.m. Now, not normally 7, but it will be brought forward 1 hour to 6 p.m. And the preacher will be the Reverend Raymond Robinson from our church in Keish. And I'll be going down to take the meetings there. So do remember, brother, as he comes, pray for him, that he know God's help and blessing in the ministry of God's Word. Do you also please note, due to the coming week of curfew coming in at 8 o'clock after the Boxing Day night, the watch night service, which was originally planned for the 31st of December, has now been cancelled. So do please take note of that. The prayer meeting that week also will be off, so just remember that, please. Let the Bible Speak, the Vision magazine, and the Free Will envelopes, offering envelopes for 2021 are available. There's the Way of Life calendar, the Wee Farming calendar. We encourage you to take those. Those are free. There's some left out there. Let the Bible Speak calendar. Some books left as well that were being sold in recent times. 100 Days Lockdown by the Reverend David Park. The Life of Emma Munn and the 50th Anniversary of her Clare Valley Church. You'll find good reading there. Do take a copy as you leave, and you'll see the prices there on the wee sheet on the porch. The offering to our brother, Mr. Andrew Foster, in Uganda last week came to £740, for which we thank you sincerely in the Lord. And just as we mentioned this morning, our brother, Mr. Bob Charlton, has retired as deacon from our church committee, and as a congregation, we'd like to thank our brother for his many years of faithful service and wise counsel in that office as a deacon. We thank God for him, and our prayers the Lord will richly bless him even as he steps down in retirement from that post at this time. Can I just also say to you, we mentioned this in the congregation announcements this morning, do make contact, please, with those at this particular time that are maybe shut in. Other folks in our congregation, older folks no longer able to get out, and others maybe shielding. Give them a wee call, ring them, whatever. Just encourage them, and it'll be a great ministry of blessing to them over this holiday season. So do remember that, please. Also do pray for the Martyrs Online Gospel Mission this week in connection with our Martyrs Memorial Church in Belfast on their website. That's each night from 7 o'clock to 7:30. Do remember that in your prayers. And then just on behalf of my own wife and family, I'd like to thank you as a congregation for your fellowship, support, and prayers throughout this year of 2020. It's certainly been a year that's been very different from many others, but we thank God for His grace and His blessings throughout this year. And we do assure you also, on behalf of our own family, of our prayers and best wishes for a safe, a pleasant, and a blessed Christmas and 2021 in the new year in the will of the Lord. That's all by way of necessary announcements. We don't take up an offering now during the service. The offering plates are at the back there as you leave. You can find the plates there at the rear just as you leave. But we're going to turn again in our order service to our next hymn, another well-known Christmas carol. It's number 81 in our own hymn book. Seeing yonder manger low, born for us on earth below, see the Lamb of God appears, promised from eternal years. Great hymn and great words of truth. We'll just keep our seats while we sing this hymn together.
Thank you.
next part of our program this evening concerns the visit of the wise men. At this stage, there's going to be a flute instrumental, as with Gladness Men of Old, played by Miss Chloe Porter. Please, thank you, Chloe. Thank you, Chloe, for playing that lovely old hymn. May the Lord bless the words of that hymn and that message to our hearts this evening. We're going to have also a Bible reading from Ethan Scott, who is in Caroline Moore's class. Now read Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 to 2, and then verses 7 to 11. Ethan, please. Thank you, Ethan.
The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 3, "And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising." Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, and verse 7 to 11. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east of Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east, and are come to worship him. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what the time the star appeared. And when he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house where they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh."
Thank you, Ethan, for reading that passage so well. May God bless it to our hearts. And even as those wise men came to seek the Lord, may there be those in the meeting tonight. And you might be wise also and seek the Lord for salvation. This stage now, we're going to have a piano instrumental. Miss Anna Moore, O Holy Night, please. Thank you, Anna. Thank you, Anna, for playing that piece so well. May the Lord bless that piece as well to all our hearts. It's good to have that gift and to use it for the Lord and for the Lord's honour and glory. And I want to thank all the young people tonight who have taken part, those from our Sunday school and youth fellowship. We thank you all sincerely in the Lord for coming, taking part this evening. We would encourage you as a congregation, remember our children, our young people, to pray for them, that the Lord would bless them and guide them and direct them all in the paths of the Lord. Again, a word of thanks to our Sunday school superintendent, Mr. Ian Moore, youth leader, and to all the Sunday school teachers for all their help and effort in preparing for today. And we pray the Lord will bless you also in your labor amongst the boys and girls week by week as you seek to sow and to teach the Word of God amongst our children and our young people. A very, very important part of the work of God, the ministry in the Sunday school and to the young people of the Word of God. So thank you all tonight sincerely for taking part, and may the Lord richly bless you at this time. Now, before we come to God's Word, maybe we could just stand to our feet just to change our position and have a wee word of prayer before we come to the ministry of God's Word. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy presence with us already in this meeting tonight. We thank Thee for the messages that the young people have brought in music and in song and through the reading of Thy Word, and how they've all focused upon Christ and the coming of Christ into this world. And, O God, bless our young people and lead them and guide them in the ways of the Lord. May each one of them be saved and know what it is to follow on in the ways of Christ. And Lord, now as we come to Thy precious Word, still our hearts before Thee. Take our hearts and minds of ourselves, of our circumstances, of the world around us tonight. And O God, focus our hearts, focus our minds upon Christ, the Savior of sinners. Bless us as we come to Thy precious and holy Word. Open up our hearts and minds to the Word of God. Open up the Word of God to our hearts. Pour out Thy Spirit upon us. And leave, and Lord, in this meeting house tonight, may there be some soul, some man, some woman, some young person, some boy or girl who will trust the Lord and come to Christ for salvation. We thank Thee that salvation is real and that Christ is able to save to the very uttermost. Bless us now and give help in the preaching of Thy Word. Pour out Thy Spirit upon preacher and upon congregation alike, for we ask all these things for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I would ask you to turn tonight, please, in God's Word to the New Testament book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. We're just going to read with you one verse from this chapter. You'll find 1 John chapter 4 near the end of the New Testament. If you work back from Revelation to Jude, you come to 3 John and then 2 John. And we're turning to 1 John chapter 4. And there's just one verse I want to read with you from this chapter, and it is the verse number 14 of 1 John chapter 4. It says in that verse 14 of 1 John chapter 4, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." Now in his famous carol, "Joy to the World, the Lord has come," the great hymn writer Isaac Watts is rejoicing in the incarnation of Jesus Christ. In other words, the very fact that Christ had come to this world. The prophet Isaiah also was one who rejoiced in this same great fact hundreds of years even before it actually happened and took place. For he said in Isaiah chapter 9, rejoicing in the coming of Christ into this world, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given." And it is this same great event that John here is speaking about in our verse this evening here in 1 John chapter 4, verse 14. When he says, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." In this chapter here before us, John is encouraging God's people to test the teachings of men to see if they are true or false. Look at verse 1 of the chapter. He says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." And my, we can test the teachings of men by the word of God itself, for God's word is true and God's word is light. He also instructs these Christians to whom he writes to exercise compassion one toward another. And you see that in verse 7 of the chapter when he says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." And to promote this brotherly love, he tells them in verse 8 of the chapter that God is love. And then he goes on and he tells them how God's love is seen in the very life of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God. And this really brings you on then to this momentous statement in the words of our text tonight. In verse 14 of 1 John chapter 4, when he says, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." And such words here declare and highlight Christ's incarnation. The very fact that he had come to this world, to this scene of time. People, in the moments that are left tonight, it is this testimony of John regarding the incarnation of Christ that I want us to look at and focus our hearts and minds upon in the preaching of God's word this evening. You'll notice first of all here with me the proof of Christ's incarnation. John says, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son." And those words really show us how the apostles were those who were eyewitnesses of Christ's incarnation and his coming to this world and to the scene of time. Back in the Gospel of John chapter 1 and verse 14, there speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, John says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And there he speaks of seeing Christ, the Son of God, the eternal Word himself. You think tonight of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What are they? They are but a record. The eyewitness account of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they are but a record of Christ's incarnation. They speak of his birth. They speak to you and I about his life, about his death on the cross, about his resurrection from the dead, about his ascension up into heaven and up into glory. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 2, there you read of Mary, and it says of Mary, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." And that tells you about Christ's birth in Bethlehem. And people, this all really proves to you and I that the certainty of the Word of God. Why do we emphasize that tonight? Why? Because throughout the Old Testament, God had said, God had promised that Christ, the Messiah, would come. Even the very place of his birth was foretold by the prophet Micah. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, he says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been of old, from everlasting to everlasting." There Micah is telling of the very place, the very town where Christ would be born, Bethlehem, where he would come into this world. The hymn writer rightly says, "Jesus, my Savior, to Bethlehem came." God's word is true. And dear people, this means that you and I, in this world of uncertainty, we can trust the certainty of the word of God. God's word is true. God's word is certain. It is something that you and I can depend upon. It is something that you and I can build our lives upon. Yes, it is something that you and I can believe in and trust in for the eternal well-being of our precious, never-dying soul before Almighty God. May it all prove to us, dear people, that the Word of God is true. The Word of God, my friend, is a word that you can trust. You can believe. May it's a word that you can rest your soul upon. For God's word is certain. God's word is fact. God's word is true. Also, this fact here that the apostles bear witness to Christ's incarnation. It reminds us of the very fact that whenever we are saved, we too are to tell others about Christ, the Savior, and about His coming into this world. My, this is what we are to do as individuals. This is our mandate as a church and as a congregation. Christ said to His disciples before He went up into heaven, He says, "Ye shall be witnesses unto Me." We are to testify of Christ just as John and the apostles testified of Christ when He said, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." John was one who bore testimony to Jesus Christ. And dear believer in the Lord, in this meeting, you and I, in this life, in this world, we are to bear testimony also to others, to a needy world, of Jesus Christ, the mighty to save. And the Lord Jesus Christ highlights this very fact in the Gospel of Luke. And He says, "No man, when he have lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light." And there He speaks of God's people, bearing witness for Him, bearing light to the testimony of Jesus Christ. And dear believer in the Lord in the meeting house tonight, I would encourage you, especially at this time of the year, when you would meet with family and meet with loved ones and those that are dear to your heart, be sure and speak a word for the Lord. Be sure and bear witness for the Savior, the one who has come into this world to seek and to save that which is lost. Yes, we see here the proof of Christ's incarnation, but not only the proof of Christ's incarnation. Notice, secondly, here the plan of Christ's incarnation. And you see that summed up in five words here in verse number 14, where it says, "The Father sent the Son." And that really tells you and I that the incarnation of Christ was something that it was all planned by God the Father. The Bible speaks about God's people, and this is what the Bible says. It says that such are chosen in Christ, the Bible says, before the foundation of the world. In other words, in eternity past, God planned the coming of Christ, the coming of the Messiah, into this world, into this scene of time. It says here in our verse, "The Father sent the Son." As the hymn writer rightly says, "My Father planned it all." By the mention here of the plan of Christ's incarnation in our text, that tells us here that Christ was God's Son. That's what the verse says here. It says, "The Father sent the Son." Christ was the Son of God. And Christ was one who was miraculously conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the power of God the Holy Ghost. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 35, there you have the angel speaking to Mary about this very fact. He says, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Thus Christ was born into this world as the Son of God. No ordinary person. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, "Great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh." The baby of Bethlehem, Bethlehem's manger, was none other than God manifest in the flesh. And being the Son of God, Christ is one who is almighty. He says, "All power is given unto me and heaven and earth." Therefore, He is able to help you and I in all the problems and all the difficulties of our life. And also, being the Son of God, He is without sin. The Bible speaks of Christ and says He is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. Yes, when we think of Christ, the Son of God, we can say, yes, that He is vastly different. Vastly different from you and I and from all mankind. Why? Because you and I and all mankind, what are we before God? We are weak. We are powerless. We are helpless in and of ourselves, and we are sinful creatures of the dust of the ground, sinful creatures, sinful descendants of Adam's race. Every single one of us, we have sinned against God. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have broken the law of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And we have no power in our own strength to overcome sin or to deal with sin in our lives. And our sin is something that condemns us, each one, body and soul, to eternal punishment and judgment and hell for our sin after this life. You see, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Not death there that is mentioned in that verse, it speaks of the second death, eternal punishment and judgment and hell for sin after this life, after this scene of time. And this very fact here that God planned the incarnation of Christ, yes, it proves to you and I God's wonderful love, the wonder of his love for hopeless, hell-deserving, lost, guilty sinners. And you'll notice there in this chapter before us tonight how John focuses in upon that love. Look at what he says in verse 9 and verse number 10 of 1 John chapter 4. He says there, and this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son. The sending of the Son by the Father into this world, it proves, it shows to you and I evidence of the love of God for lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinners such as you and I. You see, the Bible says, for God so loved the world, this sinful world he loved so much, that he gave his only begotten Son, he who was without sin, without blemish, without spot. Oh, this is why John could say twice over here in the chapter before us in verse 8 and verse 16 that God is love. Oh, as you think tonight of the coming of Christ, his incarnation, see this great truth. In this very fact that Christ has come, that God is love. Perhaps you're in the meeting tonight and maybe the thought is in your heart and mind, could anyone love me? Perhaps you wonder, does anyone really love me or care about me? Well, I want to tell you tonight, there is a God in heaven who cares about you. There is a God in heaven who loves you. And he loves you, I tell you, more than words can describe. And words can fathom. And proof of that love is seen in the sending of his Son, Jesus Christ, into this world, into the scene of time. He who is described in the Bible is Emmanuel, a God with us. And by the incarnation of Christ, it is evidence of God's love for the sinful, fallen world. Many people today question the love of God. They argue against it. But when you remember Christ and remember his coming into this world, men and women, young people, boys and girls in our meeting tonight, here we see the great truth that God is love. Why did Christ come? Because of the love of God, a love that is beyond all human comprehension for the sinful sons of Adam's race. Oh, the hymn writer was most right whenever they said, oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love. The love of God to me had brought my Savior from above. Notice one final thing here in this verse before us. Notice the purpose of Christ's incarnation. And you see that spelled out for you there in the verse. It says, the Father sent the Son, notice it, to be the Savior. Underline that word Savior in your Bible. To be the Savior of the world. That was the purpose of his incarnation. The purpose of his coming. His mission into this world, it was to save lost sinners. Remember what he said at the conversion of Zacchaeus. He said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Dear people, this world, yes, needs a Savior. Why? Why does this world need a Savior? It needs a Savior because of the awful curse of sin. And then the awful condemnation that sin has brought upon all mankind. That is why this world needs a Savior. That is why this world needs God's salvation. And Christ, the Son of God, he accomplished this purpose by coming into this world. And by going to the cross of Calvary, And as a sacrifice for sin on the cross of Calvary, what did he do? He shed his blood and died as a sacrifice to God for sinners. The Bible says, for when we were yet without strength in due time, in other words, at God's appointed time, Christ died for the ungodly. And on the third day, he rose again from the dead to show that God had accepted his sacrifice on the behalf of sinners. The Bible says of Christ, he was delivered for our offenses. He was raised again for our justification. Our text says the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The world here in this verse, who does it mean? It refers to all those, whoever they are. Wherever they are to be found, be it here in Enniskillen or some other part of the world, whoever they are, who realize their need of a Savior, who realize their need of salvation and repent of their sin and put their faith and trust in Christ alone, a Savior. You know, whenever a person does this, what does God do with their sin? God forgives. He blots out all their sin. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Also, whenever a person trusts Christ, not only do their sins be forgiven by God, but they are delivered from the power and the pollution of sin in their lives. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The Lord changes their life from the inside out. And when a person trusts the Lord for salvation, he gives them the perfect righteousness of Christ himself, making them accepted with God. The Bible speaks of those who trust Christ as Savior. It says we are accepted in the beloved. And then for those who trust Christ as Savior, the Lord is one who saves them from a lost eternity in hell. And he gives them a place in heaven, a place in glory. Turn with me in your Bible back to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and the verses 9 and 10. And you'll see that there for yourself. It says there in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 9, it says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath. That speaks of the judgment of God upon sinners in hell. He says, God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. And where is Christ? In glory. That speaks of the believer being with the Lord in glory, the person who's repented of their sin and trusted Christ as Savior. They are saved from the wrath to come. They're made sure of heaven. They're made sure of glory. Dear friend, at our meeting tonight, I want to ask you the question, and it is this: how is it with you tonight? How is it with your soul? How is it between you and God? In the Gospel of John, you read of those certain Jews, and they rejected Christ as their Savior. They were religious people, but they rejected him. The Bible says of Christ that he came unto his own, but his own received him not. They turned their back upon him. They washed their hands of Christ. Yet the Gospel of John also tells us about certain Samaritans, and they received Christ. They embraced him as their personal Savior. And testifying of that very fact in their life, they said this: now we believe and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. They knew that he'd come to be their Savior. They repented of their sin. They accepted him by faith to be their Savior. There's those that accepted him. There are those who rejected him, who turned their back upon him. Friend, how is it with you tonight? To which of these groups of people do you belong to as you sit in this meeting tonight? I'm not asking you, you're a free Presbyterian. What I'm asking you tonight is this: are you saved? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ by faith to be your Savior? Or as you sit in this meeting tonight, are you still one rejecting him? Do you belong to him? Do you identify yourself with him? Or are you one that in reality has no time for him whatsoever in your life? Well, friend, understand this: to be saved, to know your sins forgiven, to have your soul saved, the most important possession that you have. And for your soul to be fitted for heaven, and you to be right with God, and for you to be prepared for the second advent, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, then now in time you must be saved, you must be born again. Let me say, you'll not find salvation in yourself. You can't find it in yourself. You'll not find it in man, you'll not find it in religion. You'll not find it in the ordinances of the church, be it this church or any other church. You'll not find it in anything of this world whatsoever. But the Bible makes it very clear, very plain, that you will find salvation in Jesus Christ. What does that verse say at the back of the church, speaking of Christ? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. You will only be saved through Christ. You'll only find peace with God through Christ. He says, in me you might have peace. He says, I am the light of the world. The darkness of sin in your life and soul can only be dispelled through Christ and through the precious blood of Christ. He says, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You can only have abundant life through Christ. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You can only have eternal life through Christ as Savior. Oh, understand this, that without faith in Christ as Savior, as you sit in this meeting, your soul is lost and bound for hell, bound for a lost eternity. Therefore, I would say to you this night, whoever you are unsaved, to be wise. As you think tonight upon the incarnation of Christ, the greatest fact in history. There's been many momentous things in the history of the world, but this is the greatest of them all. Now that Christ has come, God incarnate, as you think of him who is God incarnate, as you think of the very fact that he came into this world, oh, see one who died on the cross and shed his blood to save you from your sin. With this realization, may you come in faith to Christ. Put your faith and trust in him. And call upon him even tonight to be saved. And I tell you this, you'll find him no disappointment. He says, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. I am God and there is none else. There is no greater blessing in this life and that of knowing Christ, that of being saved. It's wonderful to be able to sing about him. Tell me tonight, do you know him? Have you trusted him? Is the hope of your soul built upon Christ? Can you say with the hymn writer, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. As you think tonight of Christ coming as incarnation, if you're not saved, whoever you are, I beseech you tonight to come to the Lord, to seek him. Call upon him for salvation. Confess your sins to him. Thank him for dying on the cross for you. And ask him to wash away your sins by the precious blood of Christ that he shed upon the cross of Calvary. We're going to close our meeting tonight by singing together the final hymn in our order of services. Hymn number 84 in our own hymn book. It just says, Jesus, my Savior, to Bethlehem came, born in a manger to sorrow and shame. Oh, it was wonderful. Blessed be his name, seeking for me, seeking for me. We'll just keep our seats while we sing and thinking of the words as we would sing. If you're not saved tonight, come to the Lord, seek him, call upon him, lift up your heart in prayer and ask the Lord to save you tonight by his grace and by his power. We'll keep our seats while we sing. just going to close our meeting with a word of prayer. But there's one here tonight, and there's a concern in your soul, concerned about your need of salvation. We encourage you tonight to come to the Lord. If I can be of any help to you after the meeting, I'd be in no hurry away. No preacher can save you. But we'd be glad to take time with you and open up the Word of God with you and point you to the Lord Jesus Christ alone, who is able and mighty to save. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy presence with us here tonight in this meeting and for all that has taken place. And Lord, bless your word to every heart. Thou hast said that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Bless every believer, every child of God. Strengthen thy saints. Help us in these days in which we live to be bright and shining witnesses, Lord, for thee. And Lord, for any in the meeting tonight and they're not saved, Lord, speak to them. Lord, we are concerned for them. We bring them, O God, before thee in faith. We pray this night that they would not go away rejecting Christ, turning their back upon him. But oh, that tonight they'll come in faith and in repentance unto the Lord for salvation. Give believing faith, O God, and deciding grace to this end. And part us with your fear and favor. Keep us all safe over this holiday season. Watch over us in our going out and in our coming in. And in all our ways, help us to acknowledge thee and to remember that Christ has come to seek and to save that which was lost, for it is in his precious name that we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen.